Welcome to Business English Pod, a great way to improve your English skills on the go.
Wrapping up a business presentation. Presentations are an important aspect of working in a business environment. Since they give you an opportunity to showcase your abilities and thoughts, they should be planned well and organized in such a way that your main points are highlighted constantly. One of the best ways to do this is to end your presentation effectively. Remember, audiences tend to remember best what they hear last. An effective conclusion can help your listeners to quickly recollect your main points and also set the stage for a discussion on the topic you have covered. Here are some points to keep in mind for an effective conclusion to a presentation. Always provide a brief summary of your main points, no more than 2 to 3 sentences. Include recommendations for further research or exploration if possible. End by checking with your audience if they need clarifications or if they have any comments or questions. You are now going to listen to a conversation with 3 participants. Tara is a language trainer at a large company. She has just completed a presentation on issues which need to be addressed by the company's training department in the coming month. Alex and Rebecca are members of Tara's team who ask her for clarifications.
To conclude, I'd like to briefly summarize my presentation. Firstly, results of the trainee survey shows that we need to schedule more warm-up exercises. Secondly, due to constraints of space, we've only been able to hold 4 sessions at a time. Finally, we need a new soft skills program that will familiarize trainees with functional German and French for those who will be working with our new European clients. One recommendation I have is that at least 2 more rooms are required for training sessions so that more people can be accommodated simultaneously. Well, that's all from me. Does anyone have any questions?
I do. You suggested that more warm-up exercises are necessary. Isn't that a waste of time, since they're just icebreakers and not really relevant to the training topics we address?
I do agree that warm-up sessions usually have nothing to do with the topic of a session. However, the trainees I spoke to as part of my survey felt that they would be more comfortable opening up to the discussion if they were given more of a chance to have an open discussion at the beginning of a session.
I think I agree with Tara here. Lately, I've seen that trainees don't respond well if too much information on the topic is given at the beginning of a discussion.
Thanks, Alex. That's what I found as well. Rebecca, does that clarify your query?
Well, okay. It's worth a shot if it makes people more responsive during a training session.
About the extra rooms for training, there's no more space at present, is there? Should we think about constructing more rooms?
Well, that's not really for me to say, but we can recommend that to the management.
We can do that. We certainly do need more space. What about new instructors for the French and German classes? I don't think we have qualified people on the staff.
Well, I checked with the vice president of the department about that. He said we can't hire permanent staff, but we may be able to outsource the work to some part-time trainers.
Do they have anyone in mind? If not, I know a couple of people who may be interested.
Sounds good. I'll get the details from you later and include them in my recommendations. Now, we just have time for one more question.
Well, there was one issue I would like to have seen addressed. We need audiovisual equipment in all the training rooms.
Good point. It's a nuisance to keep shifting the projectors from room to room.
Thanks for pointing that out. I'll include it in my report.
Thanks, Tara. Now, who wants coffee?
Here, we see that Tara concludes her presentation with a quick summary of what she has said and invites her listeners to ask questions. She also makes a recommendation based on an issue that she has identified.
To conclude, I'd like to briefly summarize my presentation. Firstly, results of the trainee survey shows that we need to schedule more warm-up exercises. Secondly, due to constraints of space, we've only been able to hold 4 sessions at a time. Finally, we need a new soft skills program that will familiarize trainees with functional German and French for those who will be working with our new European clients. One recommendation I have is that at least 2 more rooms are required for training sessions so that more people can be accommodated simultaneously.
Well, that's all from me. Does anyone have any questions?
Tara uses the phrase, to conclude, to indicate that she is almost finished. This can also be stated using phrases such as, in conclusion, to end my presentation, and to sum up. She uses pointers such as, firstly, secondly, and finally, to lead her listeners through the summary. And finally, she asks her audience if they have any questions. Rebecca has a question, which doesn't agree with one of the points that Tara has made. She says,
I do. You suggested that more warm-up exercises are necessary. Isn't that a waste of time, since they're just icebreakers and not really relevant to the training topics we address?
Although Rebecca disagrees with one of Tara's points, instead of directly saying that she doesn't agree with Tara, she phrases her argument as a question by saying, isn't that? She also introduces her point by restating Tara's point, beginning with the phrase, you suggested that. She could also have said it differently. For example, you mentioned that more warm-up exercises are required. Or, in your talk, you pointed out that more warm-up exercises are needed. Tara responds,
I do agree that warm-up sessions usually have nothing to do with the topic of a session. However, the trainees I spoke to as part of my survey felt that they would be more comfortable opening up to the discussion if they were given more of a chance to have an open discussion at the beginning of a session.
In her response to Rebecca's question, Tara begins by using the phrase, I do agree, to show that she knows that Rebecca has a valid point. She does not take the criticism personally, but responds like a professional. She also uses the word, however, to indicate that she has an argument to counter what Rebecca has said. She follows up with conclusive evidence to support her point. Alex agrees with Tara. He says, I think I agree with Tara here. Lately, I've seen that trainees don't respond well if too much information on the topic is given at the beginning of a discussion.
Thanks, Alex. That's what I found as well. Rebecca, does that clarify your query?
Alex uses the tentative phrase, I think I agree, to let Rebecca know that he is not going against her point. He could also have said,
that's a valid point.
Or, what Tara is saying makes sense. Similarly, Tara says, that's what I found as well, to remind her listeners that she has evidence supporting her claims. She has done her research well. She is also careful to address Rebecca to make sure that she is satisfied with her response. Alex also has a question. About the extra rooms for training, there's no more space at present, is there? Should we think about constructing more rooms?
Well, that's not really for me to say, but we can recommend that to the management.
By using the phrase, should we think about, Alex is making his own recommendation in an indirect way. He does not want to take away from Tara's findings or hard work, but wants to add his own valid point to the discussion. He could also have said,
could we think about constructing more rooms?
Or, is it possible to recommend constructing more rooms? Tara does not want to comment on something that's not in her area of expertise, but acknowledges Alex's observation by saying that she will include it in her report. Rebecca shows that she agrees with the other two by restating the point,
we can do that. We certainly do need more space. What about new instructors for the French and German classes? I don't think we have qualified people on the staff.
She repeats the point by saying, we certainly do need more space. She could also have expressed her agreement in simpler terms. That's a good idea. Or, I couldn't agree more. Since Rebecca does not want to make it seem as if she is finding fault with Tara's presentation, she phrases her next comment with an emphasis on her instead of on Tara.
Well, there was one issue I would like to have seen addressed. We need audiovisual equipment in all the training rooms.
Saying, there was one issue I would like to have seen addressed, is more polite than directly saying, you should have addressed another issue. Tara politely acknowledges Rebecca's suggestion and assures her listeners that she will include the point in her report.
Thanks for pointing that out. I'll include it in my report.
You are now going to listen to a dialogue with three participants. Dave, a project manager with an advertising company,
has just concluded a presentation for some potential clients. The clients, represented by Lillian and Josh, have requested a new advertising campaign. They have worked with Dave's company before, so the questions that Lillian and Josh ask are restricted to the new campaign. Well, that concludes this presentation. As you requested, we've come up with a new approach to your product that targets a broader market than the niche one we've been addressing in the past. Do you have any questions?
Yes, I have a few. Firstly, congratulations. It seems like an exciting ad concept, but exactly what kind of new customers do you hope to attract?
Thanks, Josh. Well, seeing that your new line of MP3 players has added features such as a larger LCD display and the option to read text files and PDFs, we've included representations of business people using it as well. Earlier, our ad campaigns were informal and targeted at young people, focusing only on the entertainment value of the players.
What about niche markets such as athletes and joggers? We'd like to see more of a focus on how the player has something for everyone.
Certainly. We can add another scene depicting the player's use in exercise routines as well. My only concern here is that that may take the film over your budget.
Do you have a cost estimate for that?
Well, given the cost estimates for the three scenes we've scripted so far, it may cost around $10,000 to $12,000 more to include an extra scene.
We might be able to manage that. I think Josh is in the best position to clarify that. What do you say, Josh?
We might. Dave, we'll check with the Vice President and let you know.
Excellent. We'll wait for confirmation in that regard. Are there any more questions or suggestions?
Yes, that model from the sample clip. Isn't he a little too young?
I felt that too. His appearance doesn't go with the idea of a serious business executive using our product.
No problem. That was just a sample we made. Before shooting the actual ad, we'll be sure to give you a choice of at least three actors.
That would be great. Thank you.
Well, it looks like we've run out of time. Lillian and I should be heading back. Thanks for the presentation, Dave.
No problem. Have a good day.
In concluding his presentation, we see that Dave keeps his summary very brief and focuses more on his listeners' response, since they are clients of his company. He has done his research well and is ready with figures and past experiences to answer his clients' queries.
Well, that concludes this presentation. As you requested, we've come up with a new approach to your product that targets a broader market than the niche one we've been addressing in the past. Do you have any questions?
Dave uses the phrase, "as you requested," to let his clients know that the focus of the presentation has followed guidelines set by the clients themselves. He specifically points out what the new campaign has achieved in a broad sense, rather than listing out specific points from his presentation. He then invites his audience to ask him questions. Josh is the first to ask a question.
Yes, I have a few. Firstly, congratulations. It seems like an exciting ad concept, but exactly what kind of new customers do you hope to attract?
Thanks, Josh. Well, seeing that your new line of MP3 players has added features such as a larger LCD display and the option to read text files and PDFs, we've included representations of business people using it as well. Earlier, our ad campaigns were informal and targeted at young people, focusing only on the entertainment value of the players. Dave shows very clearly that he has studied the product well. He uses the phrase, "seeing that," to show that he has based his conclusions on specific features of the product. He could also have said, "since your new line of MP3 players," or, "given that your new line of MP3 players." Lillian then asks,
"What about niche markets such as athletes and joggers? We'd like to see more of a focus on how the player has something for everyone."
Certainly. We can add another scene depicting the player's use in exercise routines as well. My only concern here is that that may take the film over your budget. By responding to Lillian's question with the word, "certainly," Dave indicates confidently that he and his company can accommodate their clients' wishes. Words such as "absolutely" and "definitely" can also be used instead of "certainly." He also adds, My only concern here is that that may take the film over your budget. In doing so, he does some quick thinking and also shows the clients that he has their best interests in mind. Josh follows up Dave's reply with another question.
Do you have a cost estimate for that?
Well, given the cost estimates for the three scenes we've scripted so far, it may cost around $10,000 to $12,000 more to include an extra scene. Josh seems to be putting Dave to a little test here by asking if he has the cost estimates ready. Dave does. But if he hadn't, he could have said, "I'm sorry, we'll have to get back to you on that." Or, "I don't have them at hand, but we'll send them across to you ASAP." Lillian is keen to take this point further. She says,
We might be able to manage that. I think Josh is in the best position to clarify that. What do you say, Josh?
Since Lillian is not in charge of the budget, she asks Josh to make the clarification about the cost of the advertisement by saying, "I think Josh is in the best position to clarify that." She could also have said, "I think Josh may be able to shed some light on that." Or, "Maybe Josh can help us out with this." Lillian expresses some concern about the age of the model used in the clip.
"Yes, that model from the sample clip. Isn't he a little too young?"
"I felt that too. His appearance doesn't go with the idea of a serious business executive using our product."
"No problem. That was just a sample we made. Before shooting the actual ad, we'll be sure to give you a choice of at least three actors." In response to the listener's objections to the model in the sample film, Dave has an answer ready. Note that even if the model used was their only option, Dave would probably not have mentioned this to the clients, but told them that they would be given options. He would then have selected more models as soon as possible to give the clients more options. Josh is the first to indicate that time is running short. He says,
"Well, it looks like we've run out of time. Lillian and I should be heading back. Thanks for the presentation, Dave."
"No problem. Have a good day." Note that Dave allows the clients to end the meeting here and does not point out himself that they have run out of time. He also wishes them a good day to politely end the discussion. In this lesson, we have seen that there are many different ways of making your point while ending a presentation. The speakers we have heard always respect the listener's opinions and put across their own remarks very courteously. Also, when talking to clients during a presentation, the speaker is more formal and indirect when compared to a situation where the speaker is making the presentation to his or her own colleagues.
That's all for this Business English Podcast lesson. We hope you enjoyed listening. Business English Podcast is part of Workplace English Training e-magazine. To access the podcast transcript for this and other Business English Podcast lessons, you'll need to subscribe to Workplace English Training e-magazine at www.workplace-english-training.com. Workplace English Training e-magazine is a monthly interactive online magazine focusing on all aspects of business English training. It is suitable for pre-intermediate to advanced level learners. Each issue of the e-magazine is packed with interactive lessons to help you improve your business writing, speaking, listening, and vocabulary. Learning is challenging yet fun. Here's that subscription address once again: www.workplace-english-training.com.